Joining us on the Legislative Gazette this week is Robert Kammer. Well, let me explain. While the novel coronavirus outbreak has forced many New Yorkers to do their jobs from home, even most essential workers commute from home to work and back, including myself. A small number of essential workers, however, are doing the opposite, living at their work site. One of those workers is joining us today, as just mentioned, Robert Kammer. He is a shift supervisor for Blenheim Gilboa Power Project. That's in Gilboa, New York, about 60 miles from the capital, Albany. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, David.
Well, coming in from the outside world, something you haven't seen for a bit of time, but I understand that you and your colleagues are on rotating shifts.
Yes, sir. Normally, I am a shift worker. That is my role here. But we work 12-hour shifts, but normally I go home, come back to work the next day. But currently, over the past 5 weeks or so, we have been in a sequester-in-place procedure. So now we do our 12-hour shift, and then we stay at work and go to our camp and, you know, recreation, stuff like that, go to sleep, and then come back to work.
Well, I want to get into some of the specifics here. But first, let's just remind people that this is all part of a complex to help keep the lights on in New York. So part of the New York Power Authority, your Blenheim Gilboa Pumped Storage Power Project is kind of like a big battery. You're storing large amounts of electricity, correct?
Yes, sir. Basically, the way it works here is we have an upper reservoir and a lower reservoir. And the lower reservoir is right on the Schoharie Creek in the Blenheim Gilboa area. And so the way it works, it's designed as basically a closed loop system. We move water between the upper and lower reservoir. When we move it from the upper reservoir down to the lower reservoir, we use the difference in height, which is about 1,000 feet, to rotate our large generating units and produce power for the grid. And during off-peak hours or when needed, we take that same water that we use to make power and we spin the units in the opposite direction and they act as pumps and they take that water and then they pump it back to the upper reservoir to be used again the next day, the next week, whenever it's needed. So we are, as you said, a pump storage project, power project, and use us for, you know, emergencies, insurance, you know, peak shaving on high prices. So it's an interesting setup.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Robert, I imagine too that during the summertime, which we're about to head into at those peak periods, right, when everybody's got the air conditioning on in New York City and everywhere else.
Yes, sir. So, you know, our optimal times of year for operating is in the middle of the summer, the three summer months, and basically the middle of the winter, you know. So the impact of our plant is for extreme hot or extreme cold temperatures. So as of right now, we're just rolling out of what we call the shoulder months where, you know, temperatures are a little more mild and we don't get in the game quite as often. But we're always here for emergency purposes.
Yeah, essentially a backup system in many ways, right? So that people probably don't think about this a lot, but you've been doing what most people are doing now in a pandemic. For years, you're prepared for that because there could be an emergency in which you're needed. And I understand that even your facilities, while it may not be as cozy as a hotel room, you have processes and equipment and other things in place so that you can spend a week or two in the building.
Oh, absolutely. I believe NYPA has been preparing for this in one way or another for many years. And I remember, you know, having the pandemic freezer show up and, you know, stocked with food that has a long shelf life or MREs that the military would use, you know, for just in case it ever came on as quick. But for this one, the good news about it was kind of foreseen and there was planning going into it. So you kind of knew like, hey, I'm going to be going to work and I'm going to be staying there for maybe 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. But yes, you know, even without that planning, you know, we had procedures in place.
So do you know that coming in, Robert? So when you're hired to work there, are you aware that if something happens, you may have to be sequestered?
No, sir. That wasn't anything that I had expected when I interviewed here several years ago. I thought it was more of, you know, just a regular power plant job. Now, that kind of stuff wouldn't be a big change for me. I mean, I spent my first couple years out of high school in the military. I was in the United States Navy. So going to sea and this sequestered stuff, it's kind of, you know, brings back memories.
Well, your politeness in calling me sir gave me a hint that you might be a military man. So, you know, there's got to be a lot of hang around and wait time while this is going on. And you guys, you know, at these various facilities, can you communicate with each other? Is there anything you can do video-wise? What do you do when you're alone? How do you pass the time?
Well, as I said, with a 12-hour shift, there's not as much downtime as you would expect comparative to working an 8-hour shift. And most of us here are used to working 12-hour shifts. So you don't have quite as many hours that you have to figure out what to do with. So kind of our routine here for the past few weeks is we get done, you know, we go down to our camp, which is basically an office building, and each of us kind of have our own rooms where we have beds and things in there and our personal things. And whether we have dinner or, you know, NYPA has provided several forms of entertainment if we want, you know, a video game system, board games.
I heard cornhole.
Yes, yes, sir. Cornhole.
Nice.
is there as well. So that's the one that it's not together yet. So obviously people have, you know, other things to do, but everybody says, oh, yeah, we got to get going with that. But, you know, nowadays with the technology the way it is, there's a Wi-Fi connection they set up for us down there. So anybody with a Netflix account or any other streaming account, it's probably almost like being at home, just not quite seeing your family. And even that, you FaceTime them when needed.
And do you do it with each other? Do you have meetings where you're... I heard during the Easter holiday that some were drawing Easter bunnies and coloring eggs.
Oh, could be. Could be. That sounds like that could be happening between the between the shifts on site. You know, you, like anything, when you find yourself kind of in isolated circumstances like that, you know, there are things like that you do to kind of pass the time that otherwise you normally wouldn't. But that's kind of the camaraderie that builds in these cases.
Did you volunteer to be sequestered?
Yes, sir. I was asked. I'm part of the second group here at BG. The first two groups of individuals, you know, night shift and day shift, they ended up sequestering in place for 4 weeks. And to relieve them, or prior to relieving them, when we were looking for the next round of people, there's an order they follow. And then I got a phone call. It said, hey, would you like to be a part of this? And I said, certainly. You know, it may not have seemed like part of the job, but it is part of the job, you know, that we do here, you know, working in a hydro power facility. You know, this needs to be manned all the time.
Sure. Give us an idea of why that is. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with it could be a dangerous situation if you aren't monitoring levels and doing what you need to do to generate that power.
Oh, absolutely. So here at BG, it's, you know, it's not a standard just transmission or just generation. You know, we do a lot of, you know, several different things. You know, some people are set up where, you know, I handle bulk power transmission or distribution level transmission or just generation. Here at BG, we have four large pump generator units. And those four units, as I said, are quite large, and they're capable of putting almost 1,200 megawatts out onto the grid, which, I mean, without knowing the specifics, I mean, trust me when I say that's a large amount of power that can all come from this facility when needed. But the other things we do here, we have several other, we call them like run-of-the-river plants, smaller units located up on the Mohawk River in the Crescent Vishra Ferry area, Clifton Park and that area. Sure. And then some more units out on the Hinckley Reservoir in Utica and the Ashokan Reservoir down in Shokan. So we remotely monitor those units, control, you know, so the operators here are on off with these units and monitoring them. And plus they're constantly, you know, watching water levels, making sure, you know, we're watching those plants as well. So that's the generation, you know, transmission assets. We have three bulk power through 345 kV lines here at our switchyard in Gilboa. And then other transmission facilities that we, you know, monitor from here. We remotely monitor the Marcy switchyard, which is up in Utica. And we also remotely monitor some series caps, the first of their kind in New York State, that are in the Fraser Annex area, as well as a gas-insulated substation system that's down in the Middletown area. So that's kind of where our transmissions assets fall into play, what the guys are watching, you know, maintaining eyes on. And then the other big thing for us is water. You know, we control, we're stewards for the flow of water here at the Scary Creek. We sit just downstream of the New York City DEP's Gilboa Dam and their reservoir, and we have our own dam and reservoir. But, you know, with the lower reservoir and the dam, you know, we control the outflow. So, and typically we run it as whatever comes in goes out. But those are manual changes that we do to, pass water through the facility. So,
are you monitoring all of this? What do you specifically do? So, for example, are you the one pushing the button to lower or raise the water level? I mean, how does that work out with the various employees that are there?
So, for all the stuff I explained, that's done by the operators.
And you're an operator. Are you an operator?
I am the operations supervisor,
okay.
So I don't get to push the buttons anymore. I just get to say, hey, we're going to push that button, right? And they say, yes, we are just about to push it, or we have already pushed it, you know. So you
take the wider view. You're monitoring the whole process.
Yes. So, you know, the role of the shift supervisor here, which, I mean, it can be, you know, I mean, he can be involved in many different things. NYPA has always been very good about creating a kind of workforce that does a lot of different things. So, but here, you know, as the shift supervisor, you're kind of involved in the scheduling and the overview of the day-to-day operations. But a lot of different things you do with paperwork, procedure writing, preventative maintenance scheduling, and making sure that gets done. So you don't ever get bored doing the same thing over and over because, I mean, the amount of different things that we can be involved in is truly what makes, you know, one of the best features about this position.
His name is Robert Kammer, shift supervisor at the Blenheim Gilboa, BG, that is, Pump Storage Power Project, in Gilboa, New York. Fascinating to discuss with him what he does, how it works, and the fact that they, as essential workers, have been sequestered at work. Imagine having to sleep at work every night and not see your family. Well, Robert, maybe your military experience helped you, but that would make me a little bit crazy.
Yeah, well, I think it did help me too, but it, like I said, it's been good. NYPA's really provided everything we could ask for so far in this. So thank you.
Thank you.